Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
In talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are a lot of different viewpoints. There are a lot of different denominations, a lot of different churches that teach on this, and a lot of them teach it different. And so there's a lot of confusion when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that really look like? Because here's the thing. Here's what we got to know about this. Although denominations are confused and not all of them agree, and although churches and Christians, whether they're in a non-denominational or not, just because they're confused about this, God is not, okay? And if we seek the Lord, we read Scripture, and He breathes life into us and truth, then we should come to an understanding of what is true here on this topic. And so my desire in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This week, I'm trying to answer the question, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And then next week, I'm going to focus specifically on that tongue-talking stuff. All right, we're going to talk about speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and I'm going to do my best to teach and to bring clarity, bring biblical truths to life. And the Bible tells us to seek out our own salvation through fear and trembling. And what that truth of the Scripture is saying is that we should seek out the Lord, our relationship with God, in a very serious way. That we shouldn't just, because the church doesn't agree on this, then I have the right, or I'm justified by not deciding what I think about this. And that's not God's heart, because there's different thoughts, different viewpoints. Doesn't give us as individual believers the right to say, well, God, nobody knows, so there's no point in me knowing what I believe. Does that make sense? And so let's have that heart and that mindset as we go about this, talking about it. And I understand we're a non-denominational church, and in a non-denominational church, we have people from Catholic background, we have people from like the far one side of the ditch, Pentecostal, holiness. We, on the other side, we have Lutheran, Methodist. We have a very wide variety of backgrounds and different upbringings. And so you may come from a background that's on one side and saying where you were taught it's of the devil, it's wrong, it's demonic, and it's not for us today. You may be on the other side of that saying that if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to hell. And both of those are on a ditch. They're both not scriptural, and we've got to come to the middle ground and see what Scripture and what the truth of God is on this matter. And so that's what I want to do today. Maybe you're here, and I don't necessarily think it's demonic or of the devil, and I don't necessarily think that I got to have it to go to heaven, but you may be thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking because I've never heard of it. You know, you may be here going, I've never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or maybe I've heard of it, but my church, we never talked about it, and my family sure never talked about it. And so that's good. And really, I don't care which background you come from, for it, against it, whatever, it's okay. All those backgrounds that you come from is okay, because tonight we're going to open up the Word and ask the Lord to reveal truth to us. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Let's pray and ask the Lord to reveal truth to each and every one of us on this subject. And if we are thinking wrong on it, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to us. And if we're thinking right on it, then praise God, we'll just get some more understanding of it. So Father God, Lord, right now I thank You because You are holy. I thank You because You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us, show us how to live, and to be resurrected so that we can know You. And I also thank You, Holy Spirit, for being right here with us. Because no matter what we believe on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we do believe in a triune God. We believe that the Holy Spirit is here with us. Whether whatever our viewpoints are, You're here with us, Holy Spirit. And I thank You for being with us because Jesus said that He won't leave us as orphans, but He's going to send a helper. And we thank You for being here to help us figure out the truth of this topic. We love You and honor You, and it's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. All right, so first place I want to go tonight is Acts chapter 19. I want to go to this scripture because it paints a beautiful picture of a group of believers who didn't know where they stood on this topic. In chapter 18 in the book of Acts, let me just kind of tell you what has happened here. In the chapter 18, there's a man named Apollos. Apollos is a good man. Apollos is a godly man. In fact, the Bible says in the end part, the latter part of chapter 18, that Apollos was well educated in the scripture. So he was saved, he was a disciple of Jesus, he was a follower of Jesus, he was well educated in scripture, and he went to a town called Ephesus, and whenever he went into Ephesus, he started to preach Jesus, and he started to show the scripture that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the prophecies point to Jesus, and so he starts evangelizing and ministering, and a lot of people get saved because of Apollos presenting the gospel to him. But here's the thing about Apollos. Apollos didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. He didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, as you read chapter 18, it shows us that he only knew of John's baptism, a baptism of water, of repentance. And we obviously agree with baptism, water baptism. It is a sign of repentance, showing that I am the old man is gone, the new man is here alive, and I've repented, and I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, that's what Apollos knew, and that's good. All of us here know about baptism. I would dare to say that everyone in here understands what baptism, water baptism is. And the word baptism or baptize, whichever way you want to look at that, in case you didn't know, means to immerse. I'm not very good at the whole Greek and Latin wording and stuff like that, but I think it's pronounced baptismo, something like that, is the original word. It just means to immerse. And so that's why we, in water baptism, we immerse them in water. If I want to baptize my hand in a bucket of paint, then I immerse my hand in the bucket of paint, and when I pull my hand out, there's paint all over my hand. So you understand the baptism. Now this, what we're talking about today, the Bible makes it pretty clear that there's more than just the water baptism for the believer, but there's a second baptism, and that is the baptism of God himself in our life, of the Spirit. It's really exciting, and so I'm pumped about going. Anyways, back to Apollos. So Apollos was a good man, well-educated in Scripture, and speaking, getting people saved. It was awesome. Well, he come meets up, if you look at chapter 18, with Priscilla and Aquila, and they see that he's a good man, he's preaching the gospel, but let's take him and teach him more about the truth of the scripture, more accurately the gospel of the new covenant. So they take him, they minister to him. Well, then he leaves Ephesus. But whenever he left Ephesus, there were still a lot of people in Ephesus that have never heard about the Holy Spirit. But they were Christians and they were saved and they were acquainted with the scripture. Well, then Paul, the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, we all know him, he shows up on the scene and he starts speaking to a group of men that he finds out are believers, new disciples. And so he asked them straight up, chapter 19, verse 1. He says, while Apollos was at Corinth, he left. Paul passed by. The country came to Ephesus. And here's what he says when he found some disciples. Verse 2, it says, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, what does it take to be born again? Believe in Jesus, right? They did that. They were born again. They just said, no, we don't have a clue who this Holy Spirit is. And he said, well, then how are you baptized? They said, we were baptized in John's baptism. So the water baptism. We keep reading. And Paul, let's look at this real life situation. Paul says, oh, okay. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And he explains a little bit about water baptism. And he says to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. Verse 5 says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. So they were saved, they believed in Jesus, but now the Holy Spirit has came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, and there were about 12 men in all. So it's okay if you've never taught, been learned, anything, no matter what your background is, that's okay. It doesn't make you any less of a Christian. People who don't know about the Holy Spirit, that's not saying that you're not justified and redeemed in the eyes of God. But there's more, is what Paul's saying here, than just water baptism. And I think whenever the Apostle Paul says something about, hey, there's more than just water baptism, we should, as Christians, look into that. Yeah. Would you agree with me? Yeah. All right, good. So I'm glad we're all in agreement. When we're all in agreement, God can do some really cool things. So back to my original question. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? A lot of people try to make this complex and complicated, and a lot of preachers try to tell you the formula of what this means and all this different stuff, but it's really simple. God's not a God of confusion, and it's really simple. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply the immersion, the covering, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just like my hand in the paint, but it's our bodies with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's that simple. That simple. It's the Holy Spirit's presence surrounding you. And now when that happens, there are some things that happen, but it doesn't have to be complicated and all strung out and confusing for us to understand. But it's His Spirit coming on us. Here, they knew the Spirit of God. They knew Jesus. And you can't really know Jesus without knowing a little bit about the Spirit, because Jesus, the Father, the Son are one, right? Jesus said, you can't know the Father unless you know me. Anyway, okay, let's keep going. Look at it this way. This is kind of a way I like to look at it. Salvation is a free gift of God, right? Salvation is a free gift of God for who? The unbeliever. Salvation, God has given us the free gift of salvation, and it's ours for the taking. When we're unbelievers, we can have the free gift of salvation. Well, look at it. This is really cool. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is another free gift. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a free gift for the believer. See, we're already saved, and Jesus says, I have another gift for you, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John 14, and this isn't like my opinion. Let's look at Scripture here. John 14, verses 16 through 17. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to His disciples, and He says, there's still some pages turning, so I'll let you get there if you're wanting to get there. John 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him. So the disciples knew Him, but He goes on to say, for He dwells with you and soon will be in you. A couple chapters over, chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Jesus is saying, okay, I'm not lying to you, everyone. I'm not lying, folks. Here's the truth. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I do go, then I'll send Him to you. So if you can, turn to Luke chapter 24. Because on this topic, if you don't open Scripture and the truth of the gospel, and we just start telling opinions and diving into what we think and our own interpretation, we start getting in trouble. So I like to keep it simple and see what Jesus said about it. Luke chapter 24, towards the end of the chapter, verse 46. So He has already told the disciples before He died on the cross that there's more, the Holy Spirit's going to come, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, it's going to be a good stuff. And now He's died, resurrected, and this is right before He ascends into the heavens. He has all the disciples, at this point it's the disciples, the apostles, and here's what He says to them in verse 46. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. Verse 49, I love it. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, not just to you, but upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Here He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, how He's literally going to clothe us with the Helper. He's going to clothe us with power from on high. Look, the electric company has power, but it's not from on high. I want the power that's like from on high. And that's where He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what we do now, we skip over the book of John and go to the first book, or the next book, the book of Acts, chapter 1. And right here at the beginning of the chapter, it's the same time period that Jesus was speaking in Luke 24, but here it's recorded in Acts chapter 1. Same situation. It's right before He ascends into the heaven, and so we get more detail of what Jesus spoke about on this subject to the disciples gathered around. All right, here we go. Verse 5. Verse 5 says that, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And what he's talking about is John the Baptist, his cousin, the forerunner. At the beginning of the Gospels, we read the story of John the Baptist. He himself declared, I baptize you in water, but the one who comes after me is greater than I am, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, is what John the Baptist said. And so I've had some Baptist family and friends say things like, John the Baptist was the first Baptist, and I'm going to stick with John. Well, they're not, because John the Baptist says, whoa, 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 there's one coming greater than me, and he's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And this is John, the original Baptist, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. He says this, but he said there's one coming greater, which means water baptism is good, but there's a greater baptism. The baptism is for the new convert, while the baptism that Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit is for believers, well, obviously for the new convert as well. Let's keep going. Skip down to verse 8. Jesus says, but you will receive again, what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus gave this promise. A promise from God, especially when it's delivered, is a gift. And so this gift, he says, I'm going to give you a gift, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you literally myself, and I'm going to cover you with myself, with my Spirit. It's really awesome. It's really cool. Well, then we fast forward to chapter 2, and we see the promise fulfilled. It's awesome. And here's something else to think about. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the group here. Mary was there, John, Peter, the apostles, the disciples, and 120 of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, all here on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2. Verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Okay, the Holy Spirit's not just a mighty rushing wind, but this sound came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all, okay, let's stop there. And everybody, let's be that corny church that repeats after what the preacher says. Everybody say, all. All were filled with this Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty exciting. They all, 120 of them, start praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit came in, and it's their spiritual eyes are open, and it's as if they saw flames of fire resting on them and surrounding them. I would love to see the cross. And I think that'd be one of the coolest stories in the Bible to see that experience, not because of the coolness of it, but because of the power of what happened on the cross that Jesus did. But my second favorite story in all of Scripture is right here. Whenever the Holy Spirit, who came as the presence of God after Jesus left into the earth, I'd love to be in that upper room and see this to happen. But what happened was, as they all start speaking in tongues and praying and they're worshiping the Lord, they're praising God together, it caused such an uproar in the community. Somewhere around 3,000 people or more started gathering around the building outside, and they're hearing this stuff, and they're going, what's going on? A group of them were saying, oh, they're all drunk. They're all a bunch of sinners. They're acting all crazy. They're drunk. Another group said, no, 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 no. They're not drunk. They're speaking the words of God. They're declaring how awesome God is, and they're doing it in my native language. They don't speak my native language, but I hear it in my native language. And it was a really cool thing. Yet there was one side of them saying, it's sinning. They're getting drunk. Because back then it was a sin to get drunk too. And they're drunkards. It's bad stuff. And the other group was saying, no, this is something of God. And then Peter shows up. He opens the door. And this is the same Peter that denied Jesus just a few weeks ago, whenever Jesus was on the cross. And a girl says, aren't you a disciple of Jesus? And he's like, no, 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 I'm not a disciple of Jesus. And a girl makes him back down and deny his faith. And then a couple others, and he even curses that he doesn't know God. That same Peter, after the Holy Spirit came in and baptized him, he stands up and he says, no, everyone, at thousands of eyes looking at him now. It's not just a little wimpy girl. It's thousands of people looking at Peter. He goes, no, listen up, everyone. These people are not drunk. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. These people are not drunk. It's too early for that. It's not that time of the day. They're not drinking. He goes on to say that, verse 16 says, this is that which was uttered or spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the prophecy that we can read about in the Old Testament. Back then, I don't guess he would call it the Old Testament. It was just the Bible. But he says, this is in the prophet Joel spoke about this, said that the Holy Spirit's going to come down. Look at what he says. Verse 17, in the last days it shall be, God declares. And I'm going to stop right there and say, we're still in the last days. Okay? The last days began whenever Jesus ascended into the heavens and the church was birthed through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We are still in the last days. It says, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. We're going to do that corny church thing again. Say, all flesh.
All
right, y'all sound good. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man, your young man shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. So this is a really cool prophecy from the Old Testament where God says, this isn't Joel speaking because it says, God said, God declares that I'll pour out my spirit on the young, the old, the poor, the servants, the rich, male, female, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, and they're going to prophesy, and great things are going to happen. Well, after he does this, all these people now, he's got their attention. They're thinking, oh, okay, because the Bible says they were devout men. They were in Jerusalem for the holy day anyway. So they're there, and he's speaking from the prophet Joel, and he's got their attention, and they start listening. And he starts to present the gospel to them, and he tells them about Jesus. He doesn't go right away and say, y'all need to start speaking in tongues. That's not what Peter did here. Now, they had just got to receive that gift, but that's not what he did. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of God, it's not about speaking in tongues. But we got this situation where he starts talking about Jesus and how Jesus is the one. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that was prophesied about. He is awesome. He is good. And you killed him. And it says that they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. The Bible, skip on down to verse 37. It says they were cut to the heart. And they started asking Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What do we need to do? We killed Jesus. We were here. It was a bad deal. It was a bad situation. What do we do? And here's what Peter said. Peter says, repent. Be born again is what he's saying. Be born again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Okay, so he's saying be born again, repent, be baptized. Although that's not what saves you, but you should be baptized when you're saved, born again. And he goes on to say, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, says, because it's speaking, well, it's all speaking to me, but this one literally is speaking of me and you. It says, for the promise is for. What promise is he speaking about? The promise that he just talked about with Joel. He's talking about the Spirit being poured out, and that was the promise. He presented the promise, and that now he's saying this promise is for, this is who the promise is for. It says, for you and your children. So what he's saying is this promise, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they're already heard about salvation, and then he says, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, this prophet is for you and for your children, saying it's for you and for future generations. It's for your children. It's not just for the 120 in the upper room, but now it is for you here. It is for your children. And then he goes on to say, it is for those who are far off. Now, what he's saying here, he's not saying those who are just in China, because that's a far way away, or the Native Americans that we don't even know about, they're really far away. That's not what he's saying. He's saying for those who are far off, he's speaking of generations, and he says it's for CMC Missouri. It's for the city of Springfield. It's for Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas. It's for all everywhere for the generations that we're now living in. So it is for all. Now get this. And if that still hasn't convinced you, no, I think he's talking about those in China, or I think he's talking about those in Europe or whatever. It goes on to say, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. So raise your hand loud and proud if the Lord God has called you to himself. All right, guess what? this promise that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that he will pour his spirit out on you and he will surround you and fill you, is for you. It's for you because he's called you to himself. That is what's really exciting. And like I said, one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. Acts 1:8, we've already said, it's different from the water baptism. It's a different baptism. So although there are many different teachings on this, you may have heard it's not for you. It's not for today. I'm here to say it is for you, and it's for us today if we accept the scripture as truth. And just because maybe you've heard that, well, I was raised this denomination, or I was raised this, so I don't think it is for me. I think it's for, I'm not saying it's not for you, but it's just not for me. Just because that teaching and doctrine has been put in you doesn't mean that God doesn't greatly desire to give a good gift to you today. Because he wants to give us good gifts. He's a good father. And even bad fathers know how to give good gifts. And the Bible says that I'm a good father, and how much more will your Holy Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask for him? Really cool stuff. Acts chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. You can. But in Acts chapter 8, there's a man named Philip. Philip is evangelizing in the town of Samaria, where all the Samaritans were. You know, the Good Samaritan? That's where he was from, Samaria. So we got Samaria over here, and then we got Jerusalem, somewhere between 30 and 50 miles apart. So somewhere in that distance, 30 and 50 miles away, we have Jerusalem. Well, Philip is now in Samaria. That was also prophesied that once you receive the baptism, then you're going to go out and preach the gospel. Well, he went out and he started preaching the gospel in Samaria, and people started being saved. People started being healed. Demons were being cast out of them. Great things were happening. Revival started to spread all over Samaria. Well, 30 to 50 miles down the road, the apostles hear about it, and they're still in Jerusalem. And they start hearing, whoa, Philip is preaching the gospel here. People are being saved. Demons are being cast out. Great things are happening. And then Peter and John get together and they start talking. You can read about this in Acts chapter 8. And they say, we need to go to Samaria. And if you read, the only reason why Peter and John were going to Samaria, not to get people saved, not so they'd be healed, not so that they had demons cast out of them, but the only reason why they went, said, we're going to go so that we may pray for them and the Holy Spirit may fall on them. So the apostles, Peter and John, said, this is so important that I'm going to go 30 to 50, I'm sure they knew how many miles it was. We'll say 40, it's somewhere in the middle. I'm going to go 40 miles just so I can pray for these people and they might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what they're saying is, this is very important. This is very, look, they didn't jump in their Jeep and go down the road. They didn't get in their buggy and go down the majority of people back then walked. And so they said, I'm going to walk X amount of miles to get there. It was really important to them. And as we read, they go there, they pray, they lay their hands on people, and boom, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. How exciting is that? It's really cool stuff, scripture is. But we read these scriptures and we act as if they're not for us. But the Holy Spirit of God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He doesn't ever change. There's many, many other passages in scripture that we can talk about. And I can try to, I'm not trying to convince anyone. I'm just trying to show what scripture says here. But there's many other passages of scripture where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. You can look at Cornelius' house, things like that. And we're going to talk about tongues next week. And so I want to encourage you. I'm going to put a little plug in for next week. Next week, come. If you want, we're going to talk more specifically on what is tongues for everyone? What is the purpose of tongues? All that kind of stuff. Is it just speaking a different language on earth, or is it a heavenly language? What is all that kind of stuff? We're going to talk about that next week, so come next week. But they come, and you can read about Cornelius and his house praying in the Spirit and the being baptized, things like that. But for now, let's just leave those scriptures alone for the sake of time and move forward. As we can read in scripture the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether we know all about it or not, we can see and agree that it was at least important to them. It was important to the apostles. It was important to the preachers and believers, the spiritual leaders of that time. You don't have to turn there. You already know the scripture. We've already talked about it. But in Luke chapter 24, Jesus told the spiritual leaders that it's for you. You're going to be baptized. I read that and I say, okay, it was for spiritual leaders back then. That means it's for spiritual leaders today. So I believe every spiritual leader needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And some of you are like, whoa, good. I'm not a preacher. It's not for me. No. The Bible says he's made us all a royal priesthood. And to this generation, we are called to be spiritual leaders. And we're called to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're a father, if you're a mother, guess what? You're a spiritual leader. You may not be a good one, but you are one, right? We are all called to be spiritual leaders. Also, the Bible reveals to us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit are for the highly blessed and highly favored. Well, I've already said Mary, the mother of Jesus, was baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, at the beginning of the Gospels, they say, Mary, you are highly blessed, you are highly favored, and for the generations will say you are blessed and highly favored because of what you were allowed to do. And she receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's for the blessed and highly favored back then. It's for the blessed and highly favored today. Well, who's blessed and highly favored? All those who are covered by the blood of Jesus. We need this. I was going to wait and save this one-liner for next week, but I'm going to say it today. We don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we can use the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can better use us, so that we can be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're covered with something, you get familiar with it. You know what I'm saying? I know what it feels like, and I never like this, but there's a thing at our youth camp called Mud Mountain. You can imagine. It was fun while you're going through it, but afterwards you got like mud covered you and you're all crispy and you're dry and you're like, and you're, when you're covered with it, you know it's there and you know what it feels like. If you're covered by the Holy Spirit, guess what? You know what the Spirit of God feels like, and you know when he speaks to you, and you know when the power starts to flow out of you. The Bible says that he'll spring up inside of us a well of living water when he's talking about salvation, talking about the born-again experience. Say, come to me, and you'll never thirst again. But the Bible goes on to say a few chapters over from there that whenever he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, says, I will give you rivers of water flowing. There's a big difference between well of water and rivers of water. Rivers of water flowing out of you, and that is where Jesus is speaking about the baptism or the Holy Spirit. All right, so I'm going to keep going. Highly blessed, highly favored, and spiritual leaders. For devout man, we read in Acts chapter 2, devout men were in Jerusalem. And Peter goes on and preaches to them. They receive the Holy Spirit. And so it was for devout men. Do we have any devout men in here or women? It's for us. Now, here's the thing. Free gifts don't have to be received. I can come up, any of you can go to town, and I'm sure most of you have done this, have preached to someone about salvation, and they didn't accept that gift of God. They were an unbeliever. They said, no, I don't want it. I'm not going to get saved. It's the same thing as the free gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to receive it to be saved. There's a story, and just to maybe better paint this picture, hopefully get my point across, whenever Jesus ascended or resurrected, it says that he, remember that story where he walked through the wall and the disciples were there? It's a really cool story. Jesus like, ooh, and he walked through the wall. It was like Jedi stuff, Master Yoda type thing. But anyway, Jesus, not to compare Jesus to your little green booger man, but anyway, Jesus floats through the wall, and all the disciples are there. They believe in Jesus. They believe that they believe he is Lord. Thomas does the finger in the side, all that kind of stuff. He looks at them, and the Bible says that he breathes on them. And whenever he breathes on them, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that was way before the day of Pentecost. So they were saved. That was their born-again experience, because you couldn't be born again until Jesus was born again, or Jesus was resurrected from the dead, right? Well, he had resurrected from the dead. He breathed on them. And, I've had some bad breath blown on me, but I wouldn't mind having Jesus' breath blow on me. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then whenever he breathed on them, it says that they received the Holy Spirit. That was their born-again experience. So when you get saved, you are not without the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to leave some of you as orphans and some of you not. Those who aren't very spiritual and charismatic, all y'all people, y'all aren't going to be orphans, but everybody else is going to be orphans. That's not what he says. So he gives his Spirit to all believers. And you have the Spirit, But having the Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit are two different things, two separate occasions. Otherwise, he never would have showed up in the room and went, receive the Holy Spirit, and then baptize them in the Holy Spirit. So as we go on, we keep reading the scriptures, we can see, obviously, that they're two different situations. Well, what about today? Here's what I've seen, and I'm just trying to be practical and logical, and I think we need to do that from time to time, all the time, pretty much. But there are a lot of people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people who say that's not for us today, and they're not. Yet there are thousands, there are millions of believers who say, no, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they have the signs and the evidence that the scriptures say that they can have. And so whenever I'm in my logical mind, I'm trying to think here, do I believe someone who says, no, it's not real, but they don't experience any of it? Or somebody else says, no, it is real, and I'm experiencing it. Look, it's awesome. Balancing that out, I'm not going to listen to a poor teenager on financial advice when they don't have any money. But I'm going to look at some elders who have a lot of money and say, hey, I'm telling you, you can have a lot of money. Same thing here with the Spirit. I'm not going to listen to the voices say, no, it's of the devil and it's not real, whenever Scripture reveals that it's good and it's for us and it's a free gift. All right. So hopefully, to better understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have to better understand the Holy Spirit himself. Okay? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Father God is Father God. I mean, the Father. And we also have the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is so often grieved by many believers because he's neglected. He's forgotten. I don't want to talk about that Spirit stuff. That's only for certain people. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God was with God and Jesus at the very beginning. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the Spirit is just as much God as Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ is a man. He appeared to the disciples and said, look, you can't, a spirit you can't touch, but you can touch me. Touch my hand. Touch my side. He was a man. Whenever Stephen was being stoned, remember in the book of Acts? I think it's chapter 7. Maybe not. Anyway, so he gets stoned. He's dying. And the Bible says that he was speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. But as he was dying, he looked up and he saw a man. He saw Jesus standing up at the right hand of the Father. So to better understand the Holy Spirit, get this, whenever you're saved, Jesus doesn't like walk into your heart, the man Jesus. The man Jesus, one, wouldn't fit in your heart. He's a man. All right? He is at the right hand of the Father. But that doesn't mean that the Spirit of Christ isn't in you, because the Bible, when the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit, there's passages that say the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of, he's our comforter, our counselor, our teacher. On and on and on. And so whenever you're saved, the Spirit of Christ does rest with you and dwell in you. So the Holy Spirit is God, and he's God on the earth. God the Father is in heaven, the Bible says it. Jesus Christ is now in heaven, the Bible shows us. And he says, but I'm going to go and I'm going to send another, a helper. And so the Holy Spirit is now the presence of God on this earth. And even though there are some that really, you know, kind of mess up the teaching of the Holy Spirit God, that doesn't mean they don't have Holy Spirit God if they're saved. But the Holy Spirit is God on this earth. And whenever you know that the Lord is speaking to you or moving on you or trying to direct you, and you're really praying about something, and all of a sudden you just get peace. Anybody ever, come on, you just get some peace? That's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit is the Spirit of peace. And so that is the Holy, whenever you're sitting there, you're praying and something's going on and you're just comforted, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not Jesus. Now, Jesus can appear. Obviously, he's Jesus, he can do whatever he wants. He can do that, and he's done that through history. But the presence of God is God, Holy Spirit, an individual, a gentleman, and a powerful and deserves just as much respect as the Father and the Son. Okay, so here's what you may, again, be here tonight and saying, it's just not for me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit's not for me. The Spirit stuff isn't for me. I don't believe in that stuff. Well, guess what? I don't mean to be rude, but you don't have to worry about it then. If you don't believe in the Spirit, you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's okay, kind of. But it's okay because you don't have to deal with it. Because Mark chapter 16, 17 through 18 says, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. It says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands, drink any deadly poison, and none of that will hurt them. It says, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. I know a lot of people that don't believe in healing, and so they don't receive healing. I know a lot of people that don't believe in speaking in tongues, and they will never, God, the Holy Spirit will never grab their tongue and start and making them, you know, speak in tongues and things like that. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he doesn't want to baptize you so that you'll start speaking in a different language. If you were raised Pentecostal, charismatic, Spirit-filled church, I may be stepping on your toes, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for speaking in tongues. That is something that follows. And it's a good, good gift from God. Come next week and we're going to talk about it. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we can have an intimate, personal, better relationship with the Father and receive a good gift. And in its full simplicity, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.